Thank you for being with us this morning as we have gathered together to do as the Lord has commanded us. As Jesus told the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, that those God is seeking are the true worshipers that worship in spirit and in truth. And that's what we've been doing this morning as we've simply gone to the Word of God and seen and learned the things that He's taught us there. And we offer up our worship in obedience to Him. This morning I want you to think about, if you've already rendered obedience to Jesus Christ, I want you to think about what happened when you were baptized. I want you to think about that day you were baptized. I remember the day I was baptized. I don't exactly remember the year or the date. But I was a young man around 12 years old, and I went to the church building that day. It was the furthest thing from my mind to be baptized. But one of the elders reminded me in a very gentle and nice way that I was old enough and that I was accountable to the Lord. And so I began to think about it during that service. I remember the sermon to this day. I've preached a sermon similar to that, and I may preach it here one day. It's called The Final Invitation. And the invitation was offered at the beginning of the lesson. And one young man came forward. And then preached a lesson, the preacher preached a lesson about what if that were the last invitation and that was the last chance. And I got to think about that. What if that was the last chance? I'd be up a creek without a paddle. I'd be lost for eternity. And I offered and I rendered obedience to the Lord that day. And I remember going down into the water and coming back up. And I want you to think about the day that you rendered obedience to the Lord and you were baptized. Several here have been baptized recently, 7 this month, as Alan mentioned in his prayer. I received an email this morning. Patrick Rodriguez from Toledo, Ohio, had written me a few days ago and wanted to know if there was a church, an authentic church, that taught the truth and believed the truth and were practicing baptism as it is in the Bible. And he asked if there was a church there in his area. I said, let me get back with you right away. I found a congregation, talked to one of the preachers on the telephone, and they got together and talked, and he told me he's rendering obedience this morning and will be baptized, and I'm excited for him, and I hope he writes me back to let me know how that went this morning. As you remember from your other studies, baptized is just a transliteration of the Greek word baptizo, and it simply means to immerse or dip. If you go to Webster's Dictionary, it says that it is a submergence and an emergence, to go all the way down under the water and come back up. You'll remember from your studies, the Bible tells us that men and women were those who did that. Those who realized that they were in a state of sin and they needed to be forgiven. Those who believed in God and those who repented of their sins and confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and they were immersed, they were baptized for the remission of their sins. And this morning I want us to remember what happened when we were baptized. First of all, I would like for us to remember that we became a disciple of Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles today, this morning, over to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and here we have Matthew's account of the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28 and beginning in verse 18. And here, as Jesus Christ is shortly going to be betrayed and he is going to ascend up into heaven, he says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, I misspoke just a moment ago. I hope you caught that. This wasn't before being betrayed, but it was before ascending up into heaven. And here Jesus is giving the Great Commission to the apostles, and they were to go into the world, and they were to make disciples of all the nations. And how were they to do that? Baptizing in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so that's how we became a disciple. We followed the teachings of Jesus Christ to be baptized. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, we see there that the disciples were first called Christians there at that place in Antioch. And this is what a disciple is. It is a Christian. When we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we become a disciple of Jesus. And we become a Christian. Turn your Bibles this morning with me over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. As the apostles are going out and doing exactly as Jesus commanded them, they tarried in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came upon them with power exactly as Jesus had told them to do. And they began making disciples this day, the first day of the week, on Sunday. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 7, you'll remember that the Jews who were convicted of putting Jesus Christ to death with lawless hands. And the question is asked in verse 37, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And you remember the answer of Peter, who said in verse 38, "Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And this is what happened when we were baptized. We were forgiven of our sins. Our sins were taken away. It was, in the eyes of God, as if they had never occurred. Those things had never transpired. We were forgiven. Go down to verse 40. Verse 40. "And with many other words, he," that's Peter, "solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation." And that's what happened when we were baptized. We were saved from our sins. Before being baptized, we were lost. We were condemned by our sins before God. We were lost eternally. Just like that day I told you about when I offered obedience to the Lord, when I obeyed Him to be baptized, I understood from the kind word that one of the elders mentioned to me between Bible class and our service, as a matter of fact, that I indeed was lost, that I sat in that pew lost. And if the Lord came back that day, I knew for eternity I would be lost. And so I obeyed Jesus Christ, and believing and repenting and confessing Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, I was baptized and I was saved. I left there that day knowing that I was no longer lost, but I was saved. Verse 41. "So then those who had received the word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls." Verse 47, added to what? "Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved." And the Lord was adding to their number. Now, some of the Greek text by which the King James is translated says, "added to the church," and that's what their number was. To the number of the apostles, that is the church, those who were being baptized were added to their number, the number of those who were saved. Their sins had been forgiven, and that is the church, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You became a Christian when you rendered obedience to the Lord and were baptized. And think about that day. Think about, remember in your mind, going down into the water and coming back up. You came back up a disciple of Jesus Christ, one who is saved. You came up as a Christian, added to the church by the Lord. Well, let's talk about this point that you were saved. You remember in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, there as Mark is recording the Great Commission we already read in Matthew chapter 28. That here also Mark records that the Lord said that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Believing in Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2, believing in God to do what God promised to do. We'll look at that in just a moment. That you're buried with Christ, that you're raised up, that you're alive, no longer dead in your sins, and you're saved. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, we already read that your sins were forgiven, but turn your Bibles with me over to Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. And here you remember that Paul is telling about his conversion. And he says in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, that here Ananias, who had been sent to him by the Lord, Ananias says to him, "Now why do you delay?" Here the Apostle Paul knew that he was a sinner. Here the Apostle Paul believed in Jesus Christ, who he had seen.
Paul, Acts chapter 9, had been praying for 3 days, and he had been fasting for 3 days. And now Ananias says, "Paul, why are you waiting?" We're going to sing an invitation song in just a few moments. If you know that you're in sin this morning and that you're lost, the question is, why are you waiting? The same question is offered to the Apostle Paul, and here is what Ananias said: "Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name." And that's what happens when we're baptized. Our sins are forgiven because they are washed away. Washed away in what? Already in our scripture reading this morning, Revelation chapter 7 and verse 14. Washed away in the blood of the Lamb. Now, is there blood in the baptistry? Of course not. There's water. Men are baptized in water. What is the point then that our sins are washed away and we're washed, our garments are washed in the blood of the Lamb? This is the point. That Jesus Christ applied His blood to you, your soul. Your sins were removed, washed away by His blood. Think about that. As we've already observed the Lord's Supper this morning, and we've thought about Jesus Christ and His body that He gave upon the cross, and the blood which poured from His veins. As He was nailed to the cross, as He was upon the cross, as a spear was thrust into His side, and blood and water gushed from His side, it is that blood. The blood that was required to be sacrificed, offered to God so that our sins can be washed away when we obey our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who told us those who believe and are baptized shall be saved. And it is that blood, as you see the cross of Jesus Christ, and as you see Jesus upon that cross with all the pain and the humiliation and all of the agony and all of the shame that He is there offering for those who come after Him, believing in Him, to be baptized. That blood is applied to our souls as we went down into the water, and as we come back up, that blood was applied and our sins were washed away. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. We talked about this scripture last week in our Bible classes. And as Justin and Jalissa offered their obedience to God in baptism, I mentioned this just very briefly. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Here talking about Noah, those who lived during the time of Noah who were once disobedient. When the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark in which a few, that is, eight souls were brought safely through the water or by the water. Noah was brought safely. Noah was saved through and by the water. The American Standard Version brings that out as being the little literal translation that it is. And we ask the question in Bible class, how was Noah saved by water or through water? Verse 21, how are we saved by water also? Verse 21, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. How so? How does baptism now save you? We were saved when we were baptized. We've seen that already. Peter says, not the removal of the filth of the flesh. That's not what it's all about. It wasn't the fact that we got wet in the water and our hair was wet, and the ladies, you have to fix your hair all up again and all that. That's not the point. If that were the point, every time you take a bath, you'd be saved all over. That's not the point. What is it? It is appeal to God for a good conscience. And that's what we do when we render our obedience to God. Now, Noah was saved through water or by water. We talked about this again in our Bible class as we were reviewing the past lessons. What was it about Noah that he was saved through water or by water? I mentioned to the children in the class, when Noah got in the ark right before the rain started coming and the springs were opened up, he was living in a world of what? A world of sin. Now the rain comes, it rains 40 days and 40 nights, 150 days, and the water recedes, and they're able to come out of the ark, and the water is down where it should be, and they come out of the ark, and they walk into a world of what? Righteousness. And that's what happens when we are baptized. Before we're baptized, we're living in a world of sin, the world of darkness, Colossians 1, 12 and 13. And when we render obedience to Jesus Christ, we come up out of the water and we have been transformed or transferred into the kingdom of His dear Son, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We've been added to the church, the body of Christ. And so this is what happens. We are saved by the water, through the water, as we render our obedience. As we go down, our sins are washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. We're forgiven. We're added to the church. We come back up. And we're no longer living in the world of sin, the sins that we had in the past. But now we're a new creation. We're living in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, a righteous kingdom, no longer in the world of darkness. We are saved. We're also born again. Turn your Bibles with me over to John chapter 3, John chapter 3. Isn't it amazing what all occurs when we render simple obedience to Jesus Christ? When we simply believe in Him that we're just going to do what He says, that means that we repent. And we confess our faith. Just tell others we believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that faith that we already have, and render obedience to be baptized. Isn't it incredible what all the Lord does for us? You know, if you were to try to bottle this and sell it, how much do you think you'd get for it? Sins are washed away. You become a new creature. You're transferred out of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, added to the church. You're saved. All of this, if you could bottle it and sell it, how much do you think you'd get for it? What do you think people would do for it? They would walk from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth just to get a bottle of this stuff you're trying to sell, and they would just pay you everything they could in all of the world. And here Jesus Christ offers it as a free gift. Just so easy, isn't it? We're also born again. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. This is a spiritual birth. John chapter 3, verse 3. And here is Jesus talking to Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, verse 4, Nicodemus said, took it as a literal physical birth. And he was wrong about that. And he said, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit," that's what he's talking about. He's talking about a spiritual birth. That spiritual birth comes when we obey Jesus Christ to be baptized in water. Born of water and the Spirit. And as the Apostle Peter says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, that those who repent and are baptized for the remission of sins, that they are then given the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is a spiritual birth. Now look over in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Here is the Apostle John writing about John the Baptist and his witness to Jesus Christ as Jesus was baptized and rose from the water and the Spirit of God came down upon him. "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Now verse 12. "But as many as receive Him," that's Jesus Christ. Receive there means to receive as the authority for our life. It means to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord, the one who is our supreme commander, the one who has all authority, the one that I will follow and obey no matter what. Those who receive Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And this is what happens when we render obedience to Jesus Christ. We are born again, not of flesh, not of man, but of God. We become a child of
God. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And beginning in verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1. And beginning in verse 22. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring Word of God. So we've been born of God, born again, born of God, not of the seed of man, but of God. And we've been born again in obedience to God's Word. And turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Here the Apostle Paul is talking about the hope we have as Christians. That if our earthly tent is taken away, that we will not be naked, but we will be clothed with an eternal spiritual dwelling from God. Therefore, in verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Knowing that one day, verse 10, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive recompense for our deeds in the body according to the things which we've done, whether good or bad. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that's those who have been baptized, that's those who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. If any are in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Think back to the day that you were baptized. Certainly, you probably didn't understand that all of these things were transpiring. You did not need to understand all of these things, but you became a new person. You became a new creature. You became a new creation, that you had been born again. The old things were gone. The old things had passed away, and you became a new person. You were born again. Turn your Bibles this morning with me over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. You are buried, raised up, and made alive. Isn't the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf just so incredible? Because of our sin, we have to die. Because of our sin, we must die. That is the penalty for sin, and that is death. Jesus Christ came to earth and He died upon the cross so that we could die through Him without literally, physically having to die and pay that penalty ourselves. If we had to pay that penalty, we would be lost for eternity. Romans chapter 6 and beginning in verse 2. Here the question had been a rhetorical question Paul asked. Are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound? And the answer is, may it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? When we're baptized, we die to sin. That we're dead. That it's just as if we had literally died. We put to death that old man, and a new man raises up. We are dead to sin. Verse 3. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Now let's talk about that for just a second. The word into, what does it mean? It means movement and contact. You are outside of this building today. You came into the building. That means that you walked from your vehicle up to the sidewalk and through the door and into this building. When you were out there by your car, you didn't have any relationship to this building. You didn't have any contact with it. You couldn't, at some point or another, you couldn't reach out far enough to even touch it. And you had to come into it. You had to move and make contact with this building. And now all of us today, we are within this building. We have a relationship with this building. It's under us, on both sides, and above us. We have a relationship with this building. Now, when we are baptized into Christ, we make movement. We're estranged from Christ, and we come into this relationship with Jesus Christ. Into Christ, we're baptized into His death.
The death that Jesus Christ died is now the death that I have died. His death becomes my death. And it is because of that my sins are forgiven and they're washed away, because the blood that He spilt is applied to me. Now continue on.
Verse 3, verse 4. Therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death. Buried with Him.
Think about this. Remember being baptized, and you're put down under the water. What would happen if the preacher held you down there and didn't let you back up? You'd die. You'd be dead. That'd be the end of you. When we go down into the water, we are dead. If the preacher, whoever is baptizing us, does not let us back up, there is no life. We're dead under the water. When we come up, we're alive again. And this is the symbolism that's being given to us here. So we're buried with Him. Buried. You know, when someone dies, what do? To bury them, we put them all the way under the earth. And unless there's cremation, of course, all the way under the earth. We don't put a body out on the field and we don't sprinkle a little dust on the top and say they're buried. We don't do that. Because that's not buried. It's all the way under, and that's what baptism is. It's all the way under the water, and there we are dead in Christ, raised from the dead. So that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Verse 6. Verse 5. For if we have become united with Him, united it. We come in union with Jesus Christ. We may sing a song like Hand in Hand, something like that, walk hand in hand with the Lord. So something such as that. And that's what it is. We've been united with Him. As He is one with the Father and the Father with Him, we also become one with Him and with our Heavenly Father and with all of those who are Christians. Unity of the body of Christ. We have come in union, in contact with Him. We are one with Jesus Christ. Now think about your baptism. Standing, coming down into the baptism pool or the river or this, wherever it was, and you're standing there before you're baptized, you're not in union with Jesus Christ. You're not one with the Lord. Go down into the water, you die with Him. You come up out of the water, you're raised together with Jesus Christ. And there's been a connection that's been made, one with Christ, in union with Him, united with Him, in the likeness of His death. His death has become your death. Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. His resurrection is your resurrection. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him. Now think about this. Think about the day you were baptized. And you go down into the water. You were crucified with Jesus Christ. Now think about Jesus up on the cross. Think about Jesus there, all the shame and all the agony and all the humiliation. And there as the blood is staining the cross and His side is pierced, and there the blood and the water comes out. Think about that. When you were baptized, you were crucified with Him. You were put up on the cross with Jesus Christ. As Peter tells us that Jesus bore our sins in His body on the cross, your sins are put there upon the cross with Jesus Christ. The penalty is paid. That penalty is death. Verse 6. In order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, freed from slavery. And you talk about those who are living under a dictator. You can imagine those who perhaps would be living in slavery. And what do they want more than anything? And that is to be freed from tyranny, to be freed from slavery. Want more than anything else in the world. And when we were baptized, we went down into the water, crucified with Christ, united with Him, coming up, our sins are washed away, they're forgiven. We're a new creation, united with Jesus Christ. And the bondage of slavery is broken. That's what occurs. Therefore, we won't go into it now.
as the Apostle Paul explains later on in this chapter, therefore we do not serve sin any longer, but we serve God. Turn your Bibles with me over to Colossians chapter 2 as my time is quickly evaporating. But I want to make this point also this morning. Colossians chapter 2, and beginning in verse 11. Colossians chapter 2, and beginning in verse 11.
And in Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with Him in baptism. Think about your baptism. Think about going down under the water. Buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him. Think about coming up out of the water. Through faith in the working of God. Your faith in what God has said and your faith in what God has promised. And you understand, you knew, you believed that was what was happening that day. Who raised Him, that is Jesus Christ, from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him. Now remember this union we talked about from Romans chapter 6. His death became your death. His resurrection became your resurrection. That you're united with Him. You're added to the church, which is His body. And you are made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. Having canceled out the certificate of debt which consists in decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. He bore our sins in His body upon the cross. He nailed it to the cross. That's what Jesus did for you when you were baptized.
Very quickly, go over to 1 Peter chapter 3, and I have to mention this also. The day you were baptized, as you came up out of the water, your conscience was cleansed. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. Our conscience is that part of us, our mind, that is to know right from wrong and to choose the right. Having a good conscience is to be enlightened to think rightly. To think rightly. No longer, as in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 21, those who are without Christ, they're darkened in their understanding, alienated from God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 through 15, because of their carnality, they are without God and without Christ. Now, having obeyed the Lord and having been baptized, now we have the ability to think rightly as those who are spiritual in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves us. Not the removal of the dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for what? For a good conscience. Turn your Bibles with me over to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14, and you'll see how this all fits together. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Verse 13, for if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God.
Your conscience was cleansed. That part of you to be spiritual, to discern right and wrong, to be trained with the Word of God, it was cleansed with the blood of Jesus Christ. So now, no longer being a slave to sin, that you too may serve God in your spirit.
Well, I'm going to skip the next point, and that is that you became a child of God, and I'm going to summarize very quickly.
You became Jesus' disciple. One who follows after Jesus Christ and His teachings to do the things He's asked us to do. Added to His church, the body of Christ, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You are saved. You are forgiven of your sins. They were washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. You were born again, a spiritual birth. You were crucified, buried, raised up, made alive again. Your conscience being cleansed. And we didn't see the scripture from Galatians chapter 3 and chapter 4. you became a child of God. If you tried to bottle this all up and sell it, it would be worth millions and millions and billions of dollars. People would travel the length of the earth just to get a small drop of what you had in that bottle. And now Jesus offers it all for free, simply asking you to believe in Him, that He is who He claimed to be, the child, the Son of God, the Messiah. To repent of your sins, just to change your mind, no longer to do the wrong, but now to do the right. To confess your faith that you already have within yourself, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and submit yourself to be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Your sins will be washed away. You'll be dead with Christ, rising up in newness of life, being united with Jesus Christ, added to the church by the Lord, transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the glorious kingdom of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, to begin a whole new walk of life. Are you a Christian this morning? Have you obeyed our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Have you been baptized? If you have not been baptized this morning, I ask you to seriously think about it. Very simply, render obedience to Jesus Christ, knowing that your sins need to be washed away, knowing that you would be lost this very day without Jesus Christ if the Lord came back, or if you died on the way home today or something like that. You'd be lost without Christ. Simply wanting to render obedience to Him, and He'll wash your sins away. If you're subject to the gospel invitation in any way, won't you come right now as we stand and sing?